Good morning. As we prepare for our minds for the Lord's Supper, I wanted to get us to think about a few things and to consider a few things. Let us think about God created each one of us in His image, right? All of us are made by Him, and if we think back a couple of weeks to Daniel's sermon, or if you think back to Genesis chapter 1, when God first created man, we see harmony between man and God. We see a close relationship between man and God, and we can see that we were designed to live in harmony with God and in a close relationship with God. And as many of us know, as we've read in the scriptures, and we've seen the truth, we've gained knowledge that unfortunately everybody has sinned, and we've all therefore caused a separation between ourselves and God. And sin, just to put it succinctly, is rebellion against God. It's conduct and thoughts that are opposed to His will for us, opposed to how He would have us to be. And so this morning, I'd like for us to think about sin and the significance of being cleansed of our sins by the blood of Christ. In the aftermath of, if I can real quick change gears, in the aftermath of David's sin with Bathsheba and that whole business with Uriah, in Psalm 51, verse 2, he petitions God, saying, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And in verse 7, he also requests, "Purify me with hyssop, that I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." David, he felt and understood the filth that sin is. He understood that and how it that filth encompasses you when you sin. And he felt the need to be cleaned or to be cleansed. Let's, at this time, open your Bibles to Zechariah. We'll go to Zechariah 3, because I'm taking us somewhere with this cleansing and sin and the filth of sin. Zechariah chapter 3. And this is a vision of the prophet Zechariah. In verse 1, Zechariah writes, "Then he," this is God, "showed him Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments." And we'll stop there and pause for just a second to kind of make sense of what's going on here. So the high priest during the time of Zechariah was Joshua. Okay, so it's not the same Joshua that we knew from way back when they were entering the Promised Land. So this is the high priest. And if we reference back to the Levitical law, the high priest is supposed to offer a sacrifice once per year in the most holy place for his own sins and for the sins of the people of Israel, right? And so in this image, we have the high priest, which actually it just occurred to me finally this morning that Joshua is also an image of Jesus. But we'll get to that in a second, if I can improvise that while I'm up here, because it's not in my notes. So let me get back on track. Joshua is standing before an angel of the Lord and Satan. And Satan is at his right hand to accuse him, right? And so this is like a trial of sorts is what it looks like, right? It's interesting when you think about Satan being there to accuse him. When you think about Satan originally being the tempter of Eve, he's like, "Hey, you can do this, it's okay." And then he turns around and he accuses you when it's time for you to be judged. All right, what a jerk. All right. So anyway, back on track. The Lord rebukes Satan, and there's talk of Jerusalem being plucked out of the fire. So that's terminology, like the Lord is going to save Jerusalem, is what I read into that, from its terrible fate. But then in verse 3, look at Joshua was standing before the angel clothed with filthy garments. That's really what I wanted to fixate on for just a second before we get to the rest of it. So the high priest is clothed in filthy garments, and this is symbolic, right? That word that's translated filthy, the original Hebrew has some, I feel like filthy doesn't do justice to what that's trying to say. Because it's an intensely filthy, it's like a repulsive, some interpret it as though his garments are soiled with excrement or vomit, like disgusting, like, you know, get your imagination going with that for a second. That's what he is clothed in, okay? And we already know, and we're going to get to it, that filth is sin, right? That's what it is. And so we need to take to heart how wretched sin is and the stench that it has to it and how revolting it is and how God, who Steve just said that he would wrap us up as children and hold us, that he wouldn't want to hold you if you stench like that, if you are repulsive with that sin, right? He would want nothing to do with men who reek of it. So let's continue in Zechariah. We're in verse 4. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments," or some translations say rich apparel. "And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And so here we see those filthy garments are removed and replaced with clean garments, with pure vestments, with rich apparel. And it says, "I have taken your iniquity away from you." So nobody can twist this scripture into, you know, the filth was iniquity. It was sin, right? It's very clear what the symbolism is. And let's keep going in verse 6. "And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch. For behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree.'" Okay, so the angel gives Joshua an offer after removing the garment, the filthy garment, giving him clean clothes. "If you'll walk in my ways..." and it's actually a message from God. "If you walk in his ways and keep his charge, then you'll rule his house and his courts. And it says, "I will give you access, the right of access among those who are standing here." So I'm assuming that's the heavenly host. You'll have access to that. And think about the contrast of that versus him standing with Satan on his right hand in filthy garments. This is huge, right? And it's all symbolic, and it all foreshadows what Christ that has done for us. The branch, God's servant, is connected with the removal of sins in this passage. And I think, you know, when you study through the Old Testament, you see the branch referenced multiple times. We've seen it in Isaiah. It becomes clear that when it's talking about the branch, it's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the Messiah, the anointed one of God who would take away the sins of the world. In Isaiah 4, verses 2 through 4, we read, "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and the honor of the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth," there's that word filth again, "of the daughters of Zion, and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning." And, you know, this passage, you could say, well, that's just talking about the people, the remnant, when they return from captivity, but it's also foreshadowing Christ and what he does for the people of the world. Okay, and so it talks about the filth being washed away and us, the daughters of Zion, being cleansed. That's God's people being cleansed. That's us if we are Christians. And so praise be to God for the branch, for the rock, for Jesus Christ, who's able to remove the sins of the world, who can take that filth away, because he's the only thing that can remove that filth of the sin that lingers, you know, that we just can't get rid of. And thanks be to God for Christ, who suffered and endured the wrath for our disgusting sins. We're called to examine ourselves before partaking of the Lord's Supper. And in your examination, if you see sins, you should confess them, and maybe in this moment you would confess them to God, and repent of them. I couldn't help but think about the passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. The Hebrew writer writes that if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, then there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and fury, of fire that will consume the adversaries. And then he compares it to, if anyone has set aside the law of Moses, dies without mercy. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses, they died without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse a punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? And so before we partake of this, examine yourself. You know, we're made holy by God, right? And the only way we can find righteousness is through his word. And reflect and think about everything that's been going on in your life, because we all make mistakes. And we can all make it right with God's help. And thanks be to God that he would give us the chance to make it right, that we could spend eternity with him. And thanks be to his Son for his sacrifice and for being sin for us. Let's think about these things as we partake.